Well, welcome to Daily Moments with Carol. It's so good to be back on the air with you. We have concluded our 2013 Share-a-thon, and if you missed Share-a-thon last week, it's never too late for you to get involved and help us reach our budget. We were a little over half way there. We need another $29,000 to come in. So if you could help us, we would be so grateful. And we want to thank all who prayed and worked and pledged during our WKTO Share-a-thon. And what a great week of celebration, celebrating 15 years of ministry for WKTO. And thank you so much for all of you who called. I know there's hundreds more that listen, and I'm just praying God will touch your heart because we need you. We need your help. We need your prayers, your support. And you can go on our website, WKTO.net, and pledge with your credit card. Or I'm always here. Just give me a call, 386-427-1095, and we'll be glad to take your pledge. Well, we're delighted to have our special guest, Mr. Alex Soto, today. He's written the book, The Will of God, Moral and Political Guidance from Calvin's Commentaries on the Mosaic Law. And I was really surprised at the summary that was sent to me on this topic, that more and more adults, especially those younger than age 30, are claiming to have no religion at all. That's according to the latest Pew polls. And my guest, Alex, quotes, "Unfortunately, too many Christians in the United States today accept a watered-down version of Scripture." He says, "Christ's message is not intended to be compromised in any way, not in politics or in any other way of life." And I say amen to that. So we're excited to have Alex as our guest today. Call a friend. Tell them that we're back on the air with Daily Moments with Carol. And so, Alex, tell us a little background about yourself and how you got into writing.
I became a Christian probably around 19, just got interested in studying the Bible more and more, and got really interested in studying ethics, morality, and wanted to know what God wanted me to do, you know, specifically in life. So I started studying the Bible and ended up writing this book for my own personal guidance. There's a 16th century theologian named John Calvin who wrote a very interesting commentary on the laws of Moses. And I thought if I, you know, I took some notes on those, it would help me to understand God's will, particular will for my life. And then after I finished it, a couple weeks later, I was reading it and thought, well, this is beneficial for me. I maybe it'd be beneficial for the entire church. And so I decided to seek a publisher for it.
So this is the first book you've written?
Correct.
Wow. Well, that's neat. So your desire is to see America turn back to those biblical laws that God put in place to guide us and let us live a better life, right, Alex?
That's right.
So you cover the Ten Commandments in this book. Talk to us about what your main purpose was and how you want readers to come about after reading this book.
Yes, the main purpose was to give Christians two things, particular guidance and particular guidance from God. And so oftentimes you'll hear from Christian pulpits and they'll tell you, you know, they give you very general guidance from the Bible. You know, the Bible tells us to be good and it tells the civil rulers to be just and so forth, which is accurate, but the Bible's much more specific than that. And I wanted to tell Christians how specific it was. But then also, when you listen to non-Christian, you know, talk shows a lot, I listen to a lot of, you know, talk radio, And they'll give you specific guidance, you know, what people ought to do and what governments need to do and so forth, but they don't give it to you from God. And so I wanted to bring those two together. I wanted to give specific guidance to Christians, but specific guidance from God. And so what I did was God gives through Moses a whole bunch of laws, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of laws, but they're all organized around the Ten Commandments. I'm not sure if many Christians realize that, but the Ten Commandments are just really a summary of all the laws of God. And so I took the laws of God and I summarized them under their corresponding law of the Ten Commandments.
Hmm. It's true that our United States was founded on Christian values, and really they used God's laws when they wrote our Constitution, and yet so much has been distorted in the Constitution, especially when it comes to separation of church and state. Would you want to let our listeners know what was really meant in the Constitution about separation of church and state, Alex?
Yeah. When we use the phrase separation of church and state, we've got to realize there's a whole bunch of different meanings being used by that phrase. There, you know, there's the ACLU meaning, which was basically no separation of God and state, or the separation of Bible and state, which we Christians reject. There's the understanding of the First Amendment to our Constitution, which basically just forbids an established religion. And all that means is that there's not going to be any official Christian denomination of the United States, or any the ministers of the churches are not going to be paid by the taxpayers. That's what's just forbidden. But the Bible does teach a version of the separation of church and state. And what it teaches that is that God gave two separate institutions. There's the institution of the church and the institution of the state. But they both are to be informed of their duties from God's word. And God says, I give duties to the state, and I don't want the church doing those duties. And I give duties to the church, and I don't want the state doing those duties. They each are to perform their duties that God gave them, no more and no less.
Hmm. You know, we see that Christ has been pushed out of our schools. I mean, the little Christmas programs, they can't have any of the songs sung that have to do with the birth of Christ. We can no longer have manger scenes on our, government lawns. We just have seen God pushed out of our nation. Is there hope, Alex, that we can push the pendulum back in favor of religion in the U.S.?
Oh, yeah. Of course there is. Just to comment on what you said a moment ago about, you know, pushing Christ out of the schools. It's interesting that when you go back and learn about the founding of our nation, just how much Christian the society was and how Christian the people were and so forth. You have quotes like from Benjamin Rush, who said 99% of Americans were Trinitarians. They're Trinitarian Christians. And the treaty that we signed to end our war with Great Britain, the War of Independence, they prefaced that treaty in the name of the most holy and undivided Trinity. They acknowledged, you know, the Christian God in that charter.
Hmm.
You know, when they signed the Declaration of Independence, they said that this was a furthering the kingdom of Christ. They said, I mean, Sam Adams said that. So, and we've come a long way from our roots.
Yes, we have from our roots.
But we can, yes, we can bring this nation back. I mean, there's that great verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, I will heal their land. So it starts, like as you said before, it starts with the church. The Christians need to, you know, look themselves in the mirror and say, I need to repent. The main fault of the fall of the United States is laid on Christians, of walking away from their Lord, in their personal life, and allowing the state, the governments, to do the same.
Do you feel that our social challenges today is in reference to the decline of Christianity in our country?
Oh yeah. Christians are the salt and light of society. And so, if the salt and light leaves the society, then the society is going to be without salt and light. And you know, Christians are called to be to pray for the kings and all who are in authority. You can look in 1 Timothy chapter 2 for that. And the less Christians you have in society, the less prayers you can be having for the our society as well.
How have we watered down our Christian values and beliefs, Alex?
Well, as I said before, we've restricted God's moral guidance to the general teachings in the Bible, which is great. I mean, the Bible does teach general teachings, and we are to teach everything the Bible teaches. But we're not to limit it to the general teachings. I mean, God tells us very specifically, you know, what we are to do. Mm-hmm. Let me give you a few examples here. What is your duty if you're driving on the street and you see somebody pulled over that has a flat tire?
Well, you want to stop and help.
Mm-hmm. And you think you can prove that from the Bible somehow?
Well, yeah, he says one place is to love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, I would want somebody to help me, so and do unto others. I guess that's not really in the Bible, but it's a godly principle that we've all tried to live by. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. It's a very general thing, but what I've been trying to stress in my book and on this interview is that God gives very specific guidance as well. And you can look in Deuteronomy 22:4, for instance, where God says, if you see your brother's donkey or his ox falling on the road, do not ignore it. Help him get it to its feet. So here's a very specific guidance where God says, in the language of the ancient culture, obviously, mm-hmm. that they've seen their brother's donkey or even their enemy's donkey in the falling in a ditch. You're to help them to get it out. And so by analogy, you know, today's culture, you know, you update the law.
Yeah, we're not on donkeys, we're on in cars, right?
God requires us. It's not Amen. Just a good deed. It's not just a good idea, but it's a moral duty for us to help that person, you know, restore their car to health.
Wow. You know, we have seen how Western Europe has become the most secular region on our planet. Mm-hmm. And do you feel that America is going the way of Western Europe?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. I think we've been going that way for almost since the founding of our nation. We've been declining. At the founding of our nation was a pretty high point for us, and we've been walking away for. I mean, right from the start, our Constitution, which is a fine document, but it does have some flaws in it. And one of them is that it does not acknowledge that Jesus is King of the United States. And I think that, you know, God has been judging us ever since for that. We've been declining. And, I mean, there have been some theologians who think the Civil War was the result of that, you know, God judging us for that. If you look in Psalm 2, for instance, God says, I'll just give you a quote here from a couple verses in Psalm 2. It says, "Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." And so if we just look at a few points in this psalm here, we see that rulers as rulers, you know, not just individuals, but rulers need to submit to God. Their political duties must come from God. Mm. And God's talking to the rulers of the earth, not just ancient Israel, but all rulers of all times need to submit to God. And rulers need to submit to a very particular God. It says Yahweh here. And so the psalmist does not agree to this political pluralism that's so rampant in our society today. And it says rulers must submit to God through his anointed son. It says kiss his son, lest he be angry. And lastly, it says that social prosperity and adversity depends on their submission to the king. You ignore Christ, and you're going to receive his destruction and wrath, it says. Mm. But if you acknowledge him, it says you receive his blessing. And I'm afraid that the United States, almost from the get-go, has turned its back on Christ as far as politics is concerned, and we've been bearing his wrath ever since.
Alex, share just a little. By the way, if you just tuned in, I'm talking today with Alex Soto. He's written the book, The Will of God, Moral and Political Guidance from Calvin's Commentaries on the Mosaic Law. Share with our listeners a little bit of an overview of your book and how you use the Ten Commandments. It's, you know, that they would be drawn to pick up a copy of your book.
The book basically is an explanation of the moral laws of God. As I said, God gives a whole bunch of moral laws, but they're organized around the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are just a summary of all the laws of God. So, for instance, in Leviticus 19:14, it forbids us from tripping blind people, right? We're not to trip blind people. That's barbaric and cruel. And, mm-hmm. and you'd have to ask yourself, okay, what one of the Ten Commandments would God place that under? It wouldn't be under the Second Commandment about idolatry. It wouldn't be under the Tenth Commandment about coveting. It'd be under the Sixth Commandment, which has to do with the respect of life, which God says, do not murder, right? So you would take this other commandment of tripping blind people, which is a disrespect of life, and you would subsume that under the Sixth Commandment. Or when God forbids sexual relations with animals and so forth, that would be subsumed under the seventh commandment, which is thou shalt not commit adultery.
Mm-hmm.
That whole commandment deals with sex and faithfulness and so forth.
So you just kind of take all of the moral issues and put them under a certain one of the Ten Commandments, right?
That's right.
That's great. And we know that the first, is it the first five commandments or is it the first four have something to do with God and then the last have something to do with our fellow brothers and sisters, right?
Yeah, I would just amend it just slightly. The first four have to do with God and the last six have to do with God and man.
God and man, yes. We never leave God out of anything, do we, Alex?
That's right. Remember when Joseph, Potiphar's wife was coming on to Joseph, wanting him to commit adultery with her. Joseph said, how can I do this sin against God? So he recognized adultery is not just a sin against Potiphar, his master, but it was also a sin against God.
Oh, that's true. So very true. It breaks my heart to see the decline in our young people. Fewer and fewer have any kind of religious background or religious love for Christianity at all. But do you feel, Alex, or could you help us know how we can change this or turn this around and take our young people back to their Christian heritage?
Yeah, I think one of the ways, I've gone to college, I've been in college classes and so forth, and I think one of the ways that that the enemy has taken our children away from us is through ethics, which happens to be the topic of my book. They don't really see the relevance of Christianity, and especially when it comes to political morality. And when they go to college, the professors are teaching them about politics. It's you can hardly take a class in anything, in home economics, without being taught about politics. It's drilled into these kids' heads.
Hmm.
Political, and they give them very specific, as I was saying before, very specific guidance. And then they hear about what Christians say, and Christians give them very general directions. And they say, well, I don't really see the relevance of Christianity for life. It doesn't really help me for this or that situation. And I think if Christians, and particularly pastors, will preach the full Bible when it comes to morality and it comes to politics, they may get the ear of our young people once again.
That's very good. Well, I'm telling you, this is a book that will stir you up. I know that most everybody listening to me today would say they are concerned about the direction that America is going, Alex. What would be, if you could have an appointment today with our president, what would you say to him?
Yeah, I would say basically what Psalm 2 said. That I would give him basically a 1-2 punch. We need to submit to Christ, and we need to submit to the Scriptures, just like the psalmist says. We need to submit to God through His Christ, lest you be angry and you perish in the way. And it's the what prompts the writing of this psalm is that the rulers of the earth wanted to cast off God's law. They said, we're tired of being chained by God's law. We want to do what we want to do. We want to be our own little gods and so forth. And God says, no, you need to submit to my law. And so I would tell the president, I would tell the prime minister of any nation, any dictator on any nation on planet earth, that you need to submit to Christ. You need to submit to his law. If you remember Nebuchadnezzar, who was not king of the covenant people of Israel, he was a pagan king. God came to this pagan king who was king of a pagan land and told him, you need to recognize that I rule over your kingdom. And Nebuchadnezzar had to learn the hard way, didn't he? God made him an animal. But when he repented and he came to his senses, he acknowledged officially, by official public decree, that God rules his kingdom. And I think that's what God requires of all nations, the United States, Canada, Iran, Australia. They all need to publicly and officially acknowledge Jesus as king of their realm.
Amen. What do you see as maybe long-term consequences of an increasingly secular United States?
Yeah, I can give you, I'll quote you a couple of verses here. This is from 2 Chronicles 15. It says, when Israel was without the true God and without the law, in those days it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the lands were in great turmoil because God was troubling them with every kind of distress. Mm. God's the one that sends crime on a nation that departs from him. Here's another one here. When there is no revelation of God, the people cast off restraint. They run wild. Yeah. But happy is he who keeps the law. See, you have a happy society that's ordered and safe when they follow God's law. But when they cast off God's law, it's unrestrained. You have rampant crime.
So true. I really love, Alex, how you always answer with the Word of God. And God does have an answer in his Word for every situation we'll ever face, doesn't he?
That's right, yeah.
And you kind of sum it all up under the Ten Commandments and use a lot of scripture. How do you hope that God uses this book in people's lives, Alex?
Well, I hope when they face moral dilemmas that they can easily pick up my book and go right to the verse that helps them, that gives them the word from God. And so, for instance, if a stray dog happens to be on your front porch, you want to know, you know, the kids want to keep the dog, you want to know, what does God will for me for this dog? Hope they would turn to... in my book, it says, I'll give you a quote from Exodus 23:4.
Okay.
If you come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to take it back to him. See, God requires us to try to seek the owner of a stray dog. And if you can't, then you can keep it. But otherwise you got to give it away, give it back to the proper owner. See, that's not just a guidance from Alex Soto or from some theologian or pastor. That's from God.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I love all the scriptures that you've tied together from the Old and the New Testament to help guide us in our walk with the Lord. And truly, God gave us the Ten Commandments to be a guideline for us as we live our lives on this earth. And may God bring our nation back to these Ten Commandments. Well, we want to thank you, Alex. Let our listeners know how they can get a copy of your book, The Will of God.
Yeah, they can go to the major internet bookstores like Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or they can go to my site, which is annodomini.co.
And you want to spell that for them?
Yeah, it's all one word, anno, A-N-N-O, and then domini, D-O-M. I-N-I. This is a Latin word, which means in the year of the Lord.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great to know. And they can find you on the website there, that at that address, right?
Correct.
Well, why don't you close us by praying over our listeners today, Alex, and our wonderful United States of America.
Yes, I'd love to. Dear Lord, we recognize that you are our Lord, and that you gave so much to redeem us. You've given us the extreme expression of love by sacrificing your Son for us, and that you did not do that just to leave us wandering in this earth, that you also gave us your Word from Genesis to Revelation to guide us in all the particular areas of our life. And you told us that you gave us all those many detailed laws in Moses for our good, you told us. And I pray that you use my book or the words of any other theologian, which is accurately teaching your word, to bring this nation back to you. And we have once called on you as our Lord. We once turned to you in our distresses, but Lord, we seem to turn our back on you. And we sure you are a man, God of your word, that keeps your threats. And you've certainly punished us for what we've deserved. But Lord, we know that you only can turn us back to you and grant us repentance. We pray that you do that for our land. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Alex, and I just pray that God will use your book in a mighty way.
Thank you very much, Carol. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, we want to give away a copy if you found this that might be something interesting for you to study the Ten Commandments in a deeper way and help apply them to your life and to the teaching them to your young people. You know, we look at this generation and we know that it's because parents have failed, and we need to step up to the plate and teach our children moral values and teach them the Ten Commandments. And God help us. Well, I want to remind you that, if you want the book, call me, 386-427-1095, 386-427-1095. You're on the air with Carol.
Hi, Carol.
Hey, who am I talking to?
This is Pam.
Well, hi, Pam. How are you today?
I'm fine. I enjoyed that message you had today.
Well, good. Would you like for me to send you the book?
That would be great.
Can you call me right after the program and give me your address?
I sure will.
Thanks, Pam. Where are you calling from?
I'm in DeLand.
DeLand. God bless you, sweetheart. Call me later.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.